Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's 5 o'clock on the most listened to sports talk show for your ride home.
What?
It is time for the Falcons Report.
Whoa. Casey got another pick. Here's Julio down the far sideline and will score. Sacked. Grady Jarrett got another one. You shall not pass.
The 5 o'clock Falcons Report.
Oh, my heavens.
On Dukes and Bell.
Happy Friday. We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey man, it is good to have you listening. Appreciate the guy. Did you see the guy earlier? He's like, y'all come join me. He had a cigar. He had a hey man ale. I'm like, come on, man. Couple hours.
Although, after our argument about Kaepernick, I was going to go to Rocky Patel's place, Burn, down in Naples tonight. Yeah. But now I don't think I can have a cigar the way my pipes are sounding. So I'd love to have a nice stick and a brew tonight, but I don't think that's going to be in the offing.
All right.
I see a lot of steam and a lot of tea.
Okay, man. And some cocktails, right? A few?
Right on.
All right. Listen, we're going to get to the Falcon Report. The Kaepernick story is a big story. It's going to we're going to talk about it in about 20 minutes if you are just joining us, simply because it's polarizing on many levels, man. And you know, some people are saying, listen, they don't think Cap got paid. They think he's going to ultimately get a shot back in the NFL. I don't buy that 1 second.
Oh, he's never playing in the NFL.
I don't believe that at all. But, you know, there's so much speculation out there in regards to the settlement today. And I say that because basically his collusion case was settled by the National Football League, and it was supposed to go to an arbitrator this month. And before it gets there, and as Mike has pointed out, a lot of the evidence that would have been presented, the NFL cuts a check. How much? We don't know. But the speculation out there is $60 to $80 million. Maybe more, maybe less. Either way, Kaepernick and Eric Reed, who is now a part of the Carolina Panthers, were a part of that collusion case.
Right. So we're not sure how much each guy got, if it was identical or Cap got more, because obviously Eric Reed is playing and he got a, you know, a deal this year and he got a contract extension off of his work with the Panthers. But yeah, man, we're going round and round, and we've got a poll question up. You go to, again, Mike Bell, ATL Carl's. Put him up, C Dukes. I mean, should he have seen it through, Carl? Because that's what you and I were really, the point of Carl and I losing our voices earlier was, he starts what becomes a movement. It kind of has a momentum of its own. If the NFL is going to come to you, and we'll talk more about it at 520, but if you're getting the lawyers saying, look, they at worst it's 60-40, we're probably going to win this. Do you not want to not just continue and see it through? You'll expose the owners for the frauds that you feel they are because they blackballed you. Put it out there. It'll be on the open record. It will get reported. And the arbitrator might even give you a larger cash award than what you just settled for.
It is possible. You know, a guy just hit me up, Dean, and he said, you know, businesses settle regularly because legal fees aren't cheap. I mean, right. It's what it is. And I don't care if you're the NFL or you're, you know, Tom and Harry down the street. That part of it is true. And did you want, you know, if you're the NFL to go through with this? And more importantly, you know, if you're Cap, there's no reason not to go through with it. Mike, I don't know if there's any amount of money, and I'll say this, and we'll talk more at 20 after the hour here. I don't know if there's any amount of money that the league could give when they were trying to silence a peaceful protest by black players in the National Football League. I don't know if there is, because that's really what this was about, right? That initial thing. And then it turned into, as you said, a movement and something certainly much larger. But with that said, it's a great question. And to your point, I don't know if we're going to get an answer for that question. I don't know if we will ultimately hear, whether it be from the owners or from Colin Kaepernick's side, with the confidentiality agreement, guys, he's not going to be saying anything. Right. So who's going to speak on this to tell us what you're asking?
Right. And remember, guys, earlier in the year, Eric Reed got into it with Malcolm Jenkins from the Eagles. Malcolm Jenkins involved with the Players Union. And he went to the NFL, and they lobbied for and got $90 million from the league to basically the league say, please don't take a knee anymore. It's killing us. Ratings are going down. The PR hits are just, you know, they're coming fast and furious. We'll give you $90 million, and you guys can put that to use in every community and do social programs on your own. And then for that, Reed called him a sellout, talking about Jenkins. And, you know, the NFL's already been trying to pay this, make this thing go away through money, and they've ultimately did it with Kaepernick and Reed with the settlement.
We'll talk also about baseball collusion because we've been waiting today on two big signings potentially. One in San Diego, one maybe with the Phillies. Neither one has happened as of yet. As far as the Falcons are concerned, if you're just joining us today, the Falcons will not tender Brian Poole. Now, the Florida Gator is ultimately going to be a free agent. That will happen March 13th when the new league year starts. What did you make of Brian Poole? Because, you know, if you're the Falcons, this is how I think they're thinking about it, okay? This is where I think they're at. You see KZ making plays. You know, all right, now that Robert Alford is gone, you still have a first-round pick in True on the other side.
Right.
You've got a second-round pick in Oliver that you want to probably get more playing time and you think has a high ceiling. Let's put our best DBs out on the field, and unfortunately – I don't know if they feel like Brian Poole was that playmaker, especially as much nickel as we play.
Yeah, look, I like Brian Poole. He certainly stepped up. A very pleasant surprise the year that Arthur Blank wanted. And he three starters, you numbskulls. And you had the three that we drafted, and he was an undrafted free agent who contributed to that Super Bowl run. He had three interceptions and three sacks this year, did Brian. Also had a couple of hits. Remember, he got, about, I think, $50,000 or $60,000 in fines from the NFL.
Yeah.
I just thought his game this year was a little inconsistent, sometimes in coverage. To your point, KZ in the nickel, you're in the nickel 60% of the time anyway. Yeah, you're going to hope that Brian Oliver steps up and can do equal to or certainly better than what Rocky Alford gave you. But that's a better defense because you're bringing back Ricardo Allen healthy, Keanu Neal, KZ in the nickel. We're a much better defense in the secondary. I like the way that sounds. And no disrespect to Poole, but no. KZ's better.
And you know, I asked this question earlier for Falcon fans. Is there a move, all right, and I get the sentimental value and the emotional tie to Matt Bryan. We have it too. We had Matt on the show earlier this week, and he expressed his frustration, and I think the word he used was disappointment because he's still playing at a very high level and making field goals. And he'll probably do that somewhere else here this next season. But have they made any wrong moves? When you talk about cutting salary and trying to pay the guys, Mike, that you need to pay, that's Julio, that's Grady, that's, again, bringing in a potential offensive lineman in free agency, which we'll get more into next week and start talking about some of the names that we're looking at. Have they done or have they made a wrong move? I got to tell you, I don't know if they have. I don't think that's the case.
I mean, Rick Kamla was talking about it earlier, and I get it. There's a lot of Falcon fans out there. We got hundreds of them that were hitting us up on Twitter and on the text line. About, you know, they hate to see Matt Bryant go. But look, a 43-year-old guy to be 44 who had missed games because of a leg injury, that's an easy cut for almost any NFL team, especially considering you have a guy on the roster for, what, $2 million less in Tavecchio?
Oh.
So, you right. know, you got – I mean, I know it's hard for Falcon fans who love Matt because for 10 years he's been nothing but clutch and a good guy, but that's an easy decision to make for a team. You know, and then you throw in there, you know, are we going to move on from Schrader? That's very interesting. I mean, maybe those guys get cut. I don't know how it affects the calendar year and when the bonuses pay out. Could he have a chance to win his job back this summer? They could still move on from him? I mean, that's the only guy I would think off the top of my head they would move on from.
Schweitzer. Either or. You're going to cut some fat.
But that's not a lot of money on Schweitzer.
No, it's not. It's almost you kind of break even. That's why I brought up the idea, and I don't want this to happen. I said it before, but again, if you're being realistic and you're looking at the big white erase board, right, and you're going, okay, well, where can we save the most money? Mm-hmm. Sanu. And people went, oh! And I feel the same way. I do not think that's happening, okay? But if you're cutting the fat and you're trying to save money and you're paying other guys, that's what this comes down to. And I would almost tell you guys that, you know, for those who are Matt Bryant fans like we are, I don't think that was an easy decision for the Falcons, but the fact was they had somebody in-house. Just because you don't have someone in-house doesn't mean that they won't cut you. Mm-hmm. Just because they don't have a replacement for that guy, that doesn't mean anything in the NFL. They'll go find somebody, and they'll bring in some guys who can compete.
And then we got guys hitting us up going, who's Steven Means? Well, he was playing some defensive end for you, and, you know, you got Bruce Carter. These guys are inexpensive. I mean, basically the $2 million you saved or more to move on from Matt, you've got guys that are special teamers slash depth at the linebacker position. You know, outside pass rush. And Quinn, well, he likes him. He wants to go to work with him. But, I mean, I know that doesn't impress anybody, but those are roster moves that were made also this week.
It is our Falcon Report, guys. It's brought to you by our friends at Domino's.
Hey, man, how about a medium pan pizza for $7.99? Three toppings on that bad boy. One of the great deals you get when you go to Domino's.com and you carry out this week. It's good every night of the week.
All right. As far as position groups, and we've been kind of breaking this down all week, we talked about the wide receiving group. Our tight ends, you got Austin Hooper and then nothing. We're going to have to bring in some guys to not only block Mike, but also some comparable backups to Austin Hooper. Hoop had an amazing season. And, you know, so much so during the Super Bowl week, he was talking about it on this radio station, saying a lot of people doubted him. You guys heard that audio. We replayed it. I think he was on with the Midday guys. And you know, I get it. You know, it got under his skin that some people were ready to move on from him. Whatever motivates people, so be it. All I want is Hooper to be the best tight end that he can be. And if he didn't like the fact that some people said, you know, you missed some balls that you should have caught the previous season, that's what it is. All I know is he came back and he had a very productive year.
But it was cool. I mean, you know, Kamala stood by it. They talked about it at the Super Bowl. If you heard that conversation we played for you, I mean, we were giving Hooper some heat. I was ready to move on from him after the second year as well. But I mean, do like, you know what? Now you're a Pro Bowler. Be a perennial Pro Bowler, okay? Yes. Vic Beasley was a Pro Bowler, okay? You want to do that every year. So good for Hoop. He's a big target. He will be an even bigger target with Dirk Koetter and Mike Mularkey here.
So you've got Eric Saubert. Is he coming back, Bo? Do we know if he's under contract right now? I know he need to go out and get probably another blocking tight end.
Yeah, he should be. He was a sixth or seventh round draft pick, which means he signed.
Had five catches. And again, I don't know if they think that he is the comparable backup to Austin Hooper. Bottom line, guys, is we got a really good tight end. And when you start again talking about these position groups, the weak point is the O-line.
Right.
Wide receivers, good. Running backs, Mike, I will devalue that a little bit because you are losing a guy in Coleman, we think, that helps you, and Freeman there. But you got Ito. You drafted a guy that you think can help. But it's not the quarterback. It's certainly not the wide receiving core. It's not the tight end. As a group, that is the weak spot.
Look, we like Ito's game. You know, we see him in practice. Anybody who watched Falcons went up there during the summer. You see the moves. And again, he kind of got a slow start for camp this year. But you got to give the guy some holes to run through. I mean, he's a guy that you saw what he did at Southern Miss. He's explosive. He's a playmaker. He gets in the end zone. He scores touchdowns. He can't do it when there's a linebacker on him as he's getting the handoff, which happened a lot this year.
Yeah, it did.
And how many games did we abandon the run game? Whether it was Tevin Coleman, save for two games. You know, our carries for the running backs was 15, 16, 18 tops. So, I mean, I'd like to see more from Ito, but they obviously like what they've got. But I wouldn't put it past Thomas Dimitroff to pick up maybe a bigger compliment in a late round.
What do you think about what Justin says on Twitter? And we invite you to follow us across all social media platforms. It's Facebook, guys. If you like the radio station, like the station on Facebook. Follow us on the gram as well. He is Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put Him Up, see Dukes. And the radio show is Dukes and Bell 929. Justin says he would personally love to see Poole be in a reserve role behind Keanu Neal. He says, guys, what if Neal gets hurt again? I know. You want depth there. And I get it. Brian Poole knows the system. But he's not Keanu Neal. He doesn't play that position.
Well, counter that with Jet Life underscore Staveo. He says, you cut Poole because he played horrible, and KZ has proven he needs to be on the field.
Yep.
I'm okay. Look, Poole was up and down at best, okay? I mean, not a great year. As I said, three sacks, three picks. But, I mean, KZ is a playmaker. And on a defense, let's be honest, where the guys don't really, the secondary, they don't get enough of those turnovers that Dan Quinn is always begging for. So KZ in the nickel, that's good for us. All starts, Carl, in the zone system we use by getting pressure with those four down linemen. Otherwise, those guys are going to be stuck out there, and that's why you see guys just running underneath and running for miles because we just don't get any heat to disrupt the quarterback's rhythm. So let's hope. It's all connected, but let's hope those guys figure that out this year.
It is. It is. It's our Falcon Report, guys. And again, next week we're going to start diving in a little bit deeper into some free agent conversation because March is going to be here before you know it. We're going to get to the combine at the end of the month. We'll find out a lot more information about some of these kids that we've been talking about here on the show. But I think, as Mike and I normally do, we start to focus in a little bit more on some guys that really make sense. You know, there are some guys who are in 3-4 systems, don't make sense. Some guys, bigger offensive linemen, that necessarily don't make sense. They might be great, but they don't make sense for what we're doing. We will focus in on some of that talk next week. And, Mike, there are some free agent guards out there. The problem is half of them are 30.
Well, that's just it. And if you're going to do that, I mean, anybody who's in his prime, who's 26 years old, is going to get a big deal. And it's going to be a lot of money. There'll be a guaranteed portion of that. You won't have the money to pay after Julio's bump and Grady gets his contract. So you're going to be doing it along the lines of Fusco. You're going to be doing it along the lines of, you know, what Lavitre was when they made the trade. That was a fifth rounder to get that guy. So, again, it won't be too splashy. Let's just hope that they hit on the right guys and we can do what we did in 16. A cobbled together line played fantastically for the whole season.
Yeah, it really did. And that because of 16, there is hope that you can get this right.
Right.
It's not going to take 3 years. You got two really good pieces. If you add a veteran who can still play and, you know, can get it done, you can be right back in the mix here. But, you know, we talked about Matt's efficiency. We're talking about Matt Ryan when he's upright and when he's getting hit. And we talked about it. He got hit more this last season than in 2 years where he had arguably his worst offensive lines, Mike, in 13 and 14, where we were screaming, you know, go fix this line, and we couldn't even, you know, guys can't even snap him the football.
Right.
So
that's a problem. That's why we went and got Alex Mack. But that's why, and at some point, and maybe it's going to be this year, I don't know. I still think my gut tells me, my intuition, that little voice in my head, says Quinn, because he's going to be running the defense, it's going to be a D lineman in the first round.
Oh. Well, here's the deal.
And there's some great ones, too. Really, and
there is. It's a deep line.
Big dudes that would come in. Oliver is almost the same size as Grady, if that matters to you. If you want to go with a bigger compliment and the guy that's really going to help to create space for your linebackers, those guys are there, and they'll be there when the Falcons pick.
No doubt about it. We currently pick 14th in the first round, guys. Again, we could move up. We could move back. We'll see where that goes. But we're going on the assumption right now that we're going to pick 14th. Hey, coming up, we've got our strong arm story of the day. We said we're watching a couple of baseball stories in regards to two of the big free agents who have not been signed. Rumor was today, I don't start them, I just talk about them once they're out, that those guys might get picked up, that deals might be done. Is there collusion going on in baseball? It's something we've been talking about. And today, a collusion case gets solved in the NFL. Well, sort of. We'll explain. Coming up, we've got, in case you missed it, with Mike Conte, top three at six. You'll get a chance to hear a little bit of what John Collins had to tell us as he gets ready for his All-Star Weekend experience. We had JC on the show earlier this week. We are Dukes and Bell, and we're about to get to our strong arm story of the day. It's a couple of things that are going on in regards to labor issues, really, and collusion. It's funny that we're talking about this. We've always said, at least I think most guys, Mike, this is hard to prove. Unless you have real evidence. And I said this earlier today when we started talking about this, is as a general manager or an owner, if I were to tell you I like this player over that player, not because of what he looks like, not because of what he believes, but just I like him over him. It's hard for anyone without any evidence of being in a back room somewhere or some tape recorder with me going, there's no way that guy will ever play, and I'll tell you why.
Right.
So,
like the Danny Ferry thing here in the Hawks.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely. So it's very difficult, but I do think that there are some things that we know and some things we don't know, which we'll discuss right now in our Strong Arm Story of the Day.
The Strong Arm Story of the Day is brought to you by John Foy and Associates Personal Injury Law.
If you're just joining us, a big story today, Colin Kaepernick, Eric Reed have settled their joint collusion grievance with the NFL. So this case was set to go to an arbitrator this month. And what they were claiming, okay, for those, again, and we just think you guys remember all the things because we talk about this stuff every day and we get it. This goes back. He filed this grievance in October 2017, okay? And it said that NFL teams were violating the anti-collusion clause of the collective bargaining agreement. In essence, you're keeping me out of work. Kaepernick's attorney claimed that he'd gone unsigned because the owners colluded to deprive Kaepernick of employment. That's what this case was about. So that's what was about to be heard in front of this arbitrator. And, Mike, you know, people are now saying, you know, why would you settle or why would either side settle? Right. And I just want you to think about this side of it. There was obviously going to be some damaging information. You would have had the inner workings of some teams, potentially some owners or general managers that would have been revealed. Okay, so you say, well, why did the NFL do it? That's one reason. The other thing is people are saying, would the NFL think that they would have lost this? I don't know about that, but I do think the discovery process would have been so damaging that people would have already had a conclusion as to what they felt happened.
Now, we went going round and round on this earlier. I mean, the only defense that you would have had, if you didn't have memorandum and emails where they're talking about, look, we can't have this, he's killing the game, we got to, you know, forget that. Was a general manager could go in there and give a, you know, it would be ridiculous, but he could get the deposition going and say, look, yeah, I just didn't think he was that good. And you've got a right as a general manager to be an idiot. And many are because they get fired every year. But the big picture is you and I both agree there was definitely conversations. My point about Cap was where we got hot earlier. If you've become this movement, you know, and Nike obviously got on board, and like maybe he doesn't have to play football again. Maybe his heart wasn't in it. Maybe the Ravens was the closest he was ever going to get to doing a deal. Whatever the case, you got this NFL and this ownership group, everybody out, freaked out. They don't want this, to your point, Carl, out there. The arbitrator is going to rule. Reporters will have access to it. Embarrassing as hell. Well, why don't you take it to the limit? Why don't you go the distance? Because even though they're offering you $80 million, hell, the arbitrator might give you $150 million. Look what the franchise quarterbacks are getting these days, Carl. So my point was, why not? Because you become this thing that's larger than the NFL, larger than life, a social movement. People feel you represent when you wear the 7 jersey. I'm not getting hassled by the man. I'm not for social injustice. If they're being unjust to you by denying you the right to work, why don't you expose them for the frauds they are and turn the NFL on its ear? That's my point.
What did Kaepernick and Reed need to do to win this case? Because I think that's important. It is our strong arm story of the day.
How
guys.
Many owners have, I mean, that's another great question. How many personnel people or owners defines collusion? More than one?
Yeah. And we use the term, right? Smoking gun.
Mm-hmm.
What would have been the smoking gun? Something league officials could have easily avoided if they did engage in a conspiracy. Listen, and I've said this all day. It's suspicious, okay? If you want to ignore what you have seen and what you have visualized as far as this case is concerned and what Cap, he didn't get any offers, Mike. I think since he left the 49ers, it was May 2017. And, you know, I don't think it's any secret that we know why this took place. And you said it already. You know, it's hurting the league, blah, 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 blah. But with that said, here's what we don't know. We don't know the true settlement. We don't know what was going to be said between either one of these sides because there's now a confidentiality agreement. So at the end of the day, what changes? Because some people will say, well, you know what? The NFL just threw a lot of money at somebody to make this problem go away, but the problem still exists. It's still there. When they want to make something go away, it's not the first company to do this. Companies do it all the time.
They if it's the $60 to $80 million, which is rumored, that's been put out there. Some NFL executive, somebody's leaked this. It's out there, and Pro Football Talk has it. Let's just say, for argument's sake, it's $80 million, and you already gave the players' union and the reps $90 million. I remember Malcolm Jenkins lobbied for $90 million. Look, we won't take a knee. Give us money for social programs and things we do off the field. You know, that's $180 million. You know, almost $200 million you paid to squash this. So I mean, I understand where, you know, Kaepernick, if he's just fed up and done with this, that's fine. I just think sometimes you become, you know, the movement becomes bigger than you.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm just saying, if people are believing in you.
Well, it still is. I mean, there are still things that are being sparked he started.
And I'm not disagreeing with you. I mean, like, I'm with you on face value that there's funny business here. The end of it's a done deal. So if you got them by the short hairs and the truth will set you free, why not expose all these guys? And who knows, you might make even more money. That's the only beef I have with why Kaepernick took a settlement. I think he sold out.
Yeah, I just think the NFL is ready for this to go away. And they were ready to cut the check, whatever it was. When we started this today, because we didn't know for sure, and we still don't, I guesstimated $100 million. Remember, I was saying $100 million. They didn't do this for chump change. Either way, what does it prove? It proves the NFL kept a guy out of work because of his social stance. You don't cut the check if you don't believe you didn't do that. And that's where I am completely, I am in agreement with everyone that has hit us up today to say, Dukes, that's what this is about. Let's not lose focus of the call. Stay on the track.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't play because of what? They kept him out of the league.
Yeah, he took a stance. But the other thing, the bigger picture for me, aside from Cap and everything we just talked about, the NFL, at least two or three owners wanted Adam Silver to at least kick the tires on the idea of coming over and being our commissioner. Could this be the end of Roger Goodell? Because if you take it back to how it started, Roger Goodell and all those knuckleheads at Park Avenue, they had no idea how to handle this. You don't have this situation in the NBA. It's a non-issue in the NBA. But the NFL, because the owner, again, the tail wags the dog. The commissioner works for the owners. He doesn't work for you, the fan, or the players. He's a stooge for the owners. But these knuckleheads, these guys made all these billions of dollars. They're so stupid when it comes to stuff, which is going to come back and bite you right in the butt.
I also said this today, and again, this is my hypothesis. We were talking about this internally with Bo and Sam, who's behind the board today, and just having conversations. Don't you find it ironic that you have this Kareem Hunt thing happen? And the NFL is catching heat from everybody. Mm. And then on the verge of this case potentially going public and information coming out, Mike, that could have been damaging to various owners in the league itself, all of a sudden you have a settlement. I don't know if that's the reason why, but I got to tell you, that is – That is interesting timing, Mike, to say the least,
right,
when you just had this Kareem Hunt thing happen, and now all of a sudden the league's like, we're not going to court. We're not putting any of that information out there. There's no way we're going to allow people to know what was said or what we thought about this. It is Dukes and Bell. Hey, real quick, let's shift gears and talk about what's going on in MLB, because ironically, with Kaepernick, we've been talking about this for the last year and a half. What's happening in Major League Baseball? And a lot of people think there's collusion going on there with all these stars still not being signed to lucrative multi-year deals.
There were reports earlier that Bryce Harper was going to do the deal with the Phillies today. That turned out to be nothing. I just checked MLB. There's nothing going on right there. So how are we, pitchers and catchers report, you're into spring training, and two guys in the prime of their career, Manny Machado, Bryce Harper. Teams which are interested in him are not even close to that luxury tax threshold. I mean, whether this is finally owners all linking arms and saying, blank you, Scott Boras. We're not going to deal with your nonsense anymore. The super agent who handles all the biggest names in baseball. It's just kind of jive. You'd have to be a simpleton not to see it. Now, after all the things baseball has done, it's all because of what? Sabermetrics and analytics? No, once a guy hits 28, he's useless. Get out of here with that.
Tony Clark's a union head. I only bring this up because we're probably 2 years away from a labor issue in Major League Baseball. Mike's talked about it in the NFL, potentially down the road. They screwed up. And where they screwed up is guys are not getting paid for those 6 years of service where they're not arbitration eligible, but they're not making a lot of money, Mike. And that is the disparity where teams are now using that to their benefit. And then when a guy becomes a free agent, to your point, 28, 29, they go, it's prime years. Nah, he's not worth that anymore. So this is something that has to be fixed with the collective bargaining agreement. But as far as what's going on right now, it is very suspicious as well in Major League Baseball. Real quick, Bo pointed this out, and I want to bring this up. Albert Pujols, you remember how good he was, right?
Yeah.
In 2001, we're going back. This is when he was like in starting this great run.
Right.
And he had 37 home runs. He drove in over 100 runs that year. He was Rookie of the Year, a Silver Slugger, an All-Star, blah, blah, blah. And you keep looking at his numbers. In 2002, he was the NL, second in the MVP voting. All of these years, Mike, from 2001 all the way up to, 2005 or whatever it was, wasn't making any money. And then all of a sudden people go, well, he got a 10-year, $240 million deal on the back end, and that's what teams are avoiding.
Yeah, but that's Artie Moreno's fault for the Angels. I mean, to give a guy that old, that kind of money, and by the way, he makes $28 million this next season, 29, 30. All Major League Baseball contracts are guaranteed.
Yeah.
So literally he's got another $90 million coming at him. That's on the Angels owner for that. That contract made no sense. Okay, he's not 26. Bryce Harper is. Manny Machado is. Machado bats for average. Bryce usually does, and he's been a little inconsistent the last three seasons. But still, it's mind-blowing. Bringing it back to the Braves, reports earlier that Craig Kimbrell was seen in Orlando Airport. Now, he hasn't been seen at Disney World, or at least at the World of Baseball. So if the price has finally gotten right for Alex Anthopoulos after everything we talked about yesterday, wouldn't that be a shot in the arm for Braves fans?
It'd be great. I've been on this. I've been hoping and telling you guys that's the one guy I think we still have a really good shot for because the market has changed. Just keep your fingers crossed, man. We'll see. Hey, coming up, though, we got Mike Conte, in case you missed it, next.
Now, your game time traffic.
Right here on Dukes and Bell.
All right, guys, top three at six coming up on this Friday, and also what John Collins had to say about what he's hoping to do this weekend, All-Star weekend, as he participates in the slam dunk contest. And Kevin Harvick, Mike, 6:20.
Yeah, man, he won one of the dual races last night out of Daytona, so he'll be in the second row, and he said the Fords are going to be good, and they were.
All right, man, what is going on, Mike Conte, in case you missed it?
Brought to you by Rooms to Go.
Yes, it is.
Of course. Have an update on this Matt Kuchar story
that
we got into yesterday. Now, if you weren't with us yesterday, we all, I think, were in general agreement, I would even include Brian and Bo on this, that Matt Kuchar did not handle a situation with a substitute caddy very well at all. He won a tournament in Mexico back in November with a substitute caddy. It is etiquette that if you win a PGA tournament, you give your caddy 10% of the purse, which in Kuchar's case would have been like $140,000. Instead, Kuchar handed the substitute caddy, whose name was David Ortiz, an envelope full of $5,000 in small bills, much less than 10% of the winnings. Kuch then decided to double down on that decision when word started to leak out, telling Golf.com this week that $5,000 represented a very good week of pay for that substitute caddy who was from Mexico. Well, Matt Kuchar now has put out a very lengthy written apology.
Uh-oh.
That I don't want to be cynical.
Okay.
But I'm going to go out on a limb and assume that a PR professional and or a lawyer had a heavy role in maybe crafting this apology. And he now says that he will pay David Ortiz the requested total of $50,000. All I'll say is this. I think the damage has already been done.
Yeah, we're big fans of Cooch. We got to know Matt. I met him and interviewed him when he was the U.S. amateur champ, Mike, back when he won the low amateur at the Masters. It's just, it looks so bad, especially when you double down and say, well, you know, that guy, you know, he's making $200 a week. If it's standard procedure, I know he's not the guy who's normally there. It looks bad. Phil Mickelson would never handle it like that. You know, Phil Mickelson, there's guys out there that do it the right way. Whether you think he's a fraud or a phony, he's at least going to do it the right way.
He would go double or nothing on some kind of bet for the 10% cut.
I see you next year. You want to make 250 grand?
Yeah, right. Exactly. Double or nothing if I'll be back next year. Now, Kuchar had said that he had worked out an arrangement with the caddy that if he didn't make the cut, he'd give him $1,000. If he made the cut, it'd be $2,000. And if he was in the top 20, it'd be $3,000. If he was top 10, $4,000. He won, so he paid him $5,000.
Mm-mm.
So, and just, I want to make sure all sides are presented here.
All right.
Because I do feel a little bit bad for Kuchar. If this was the arrangement he worked out with the caddy, and the caddy agreed to it, I would understand where there is a little bit of a misunderstanding, a misconnect. It doesn't mean you're doing the right thing
by
paying him what you agreed to pay him. I'm just
you go on
I
and
want
win.
To make sure all the facts
right. and
are
then,
out.
Mike, you had a level of success and how much this guy contributed, whether he knew the course or didn't. I would imagine he knew the course.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's a way to do the right thing. Cooch has got a career earnings, I think Mike told us yesterday, of over $48 million.
Yes, that's correct.
You know,
correct.
And everybody, he's a consistent top 10 money winner. I mean, like I said, it just the optics are really bad. And here's the thing. Even if you want to put it out there, you gave the guy $100,000, Carl, you can leak it. You can tell any of the golf writers, and it'll be a hell of a story.
Yeah.
You know, and then people love you even more.
In this very carefully worded and crafted apology, Kuchar points out that he will also be making a charitable donation to the Playa del Carmen community.
Good call. Listen, I don't know if you can make it right, as Mike Conti said. The damage is done. It's in case you missed it. But it beats the alternative. If he did nothing, I think this would have been one of those scars that we remember and go, man, you remember? And maybe it is, Mike. Maybe we still talk about this down the road. But not a good decision when he could have made this right from the jump.
So there's a railroad worker who works in Saskatchewan. That's in Canada, if you don't know. His name is David Osman. He's retired now, but he's got a truck. You know, Saskatchewan's kind of the wild frontier in Western Canada. He's got a truck, and he applied to the Saskatchewan provincial government to get one of those vanity license plates, and he wanted to put his last name on it. All right, that's different. I mean, I don't ride around in my car with a license plate that says Conti, but, you know, whatever. I'm not going to pass judgment. The Saskatchewan provincial government declined the request because Mr. Osman, it's not spelled with an O, it's spelled with an A. And if you've seen a very prominent episode of Seinfeld, you may remember when Kramer was inadvertently sent the tags that were supposed to go to a proctologist.
Yes.
And then he drove around with George's mom and stopped short with it. A very funny episode. Okay, so he wanted a license plate, a tag that said Osman with an A, not an O. The provincial government says no. So David Osman decided the next best thing he could do was take the tailgate of his truck and paint in giant letters his last name.
Oh.
Osman.
There it is.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm an Osman, Jerry. We use that line. I've used that line with you, Carl. We've been around.
Yes, you have.
It's one of our inside jokes here when we're out in Vegas. But, oh, yeah, Jerry. That's hysterical.
That's one of my favorite episodes when Kramer is driving George's mom and people are, like, beeping at him and hollering at him. They go, hey, look, it's the, you know what, man, you go that straight.
Yes.
Hilarious episode.
Squidbilly, if they say it on network television, can't we say it on radio?
Yeah. No, we have different rules. We have the Terry Fox and the Rick Caffey rules, and those are the guidelines that we go by back here.
Unfortunately, he's right.
So it rhymes with Gas Man.
Yes, right.
But that is a visual right there.
That's funny.
I mean, that truck
good for
is
him.
Unbelievable.
He's not going to take it from the man. He's going to put that on his tailgate.
Oh, I'm a gas man, Jerry.
Hey, by the way, great news. Great news. This is what we all want to see. Floyd Mayweather has signed a $10 million deal to fight in July.
Against?
What we all want to see. He is fighting a former Japanese boxer, but he's not. Yeah. But he's. No, this is the
I don't
best
think
part.
We're going to get a trip to Vegas in this, Mike.
This is the best part. He doesn't know who he is yet. So I guess he signed a $10 million deal. It's only going to be three rounds. But he says that he's.
He'll be taking on Mr. Fuji.
Bum.
No, that's not who he's fighting. But Floyd says he's got.
Kabuki.
He's got a set of four fights lined up. Each will be three rounds. Each will pay him $10 million.
Are you serious?
Opponents to TBA, yeah.
Wow.
And if he wins those matches, he'll take on Ricky the Dragon Steamboat.
All right, Floyd, do whatever you do, man.
You see that he thinks he's going to be able to sign Zion Williamson to his money team. I guess he's an agent now.
Oh, he's got he's got agents representing money team to get guys in the NBA.
I guess Alonzo Earl, who is a prominent NBA agent, is working with the money team.
Now. That's right.
And he thinks he's going to get Zion. He told TMZ. Floyd's had a bad week, by the way. I don't know if you've been following.
What'd he do?
Well, I don't want to get too into it, but Gucci, I guess, is selling a very controversial turtleneck sweater.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking
about? The
blackface
sweater that everyone was protesting.
Yes. Yeah. And Floyd went on a big shopping spree at Gucci on Monday. Because that's what Floyd does.
He does.
He just likes to shop. And 50 Cent, the rapper, has been very vocal in objecting to Floyd shopping at Gucci. Mm-hmm. You may or may not know this. I guess Floyd and 50 Cent
don't get along.
They kind of have a little bit of a beef going.
Yeah, right. It's been an ongoing beef for some time now.
Very long time.
Yeah.
I believe it was 50 Cent who alleged publicly that Floyd could not read. And Floyd responded by Instagramming a picture of a like 9-figure check that he had cut to him and said, "Hey, 50 Cent, read this."
Yeah, right.
So yeah, Floyd's had a bad week.
Okay,
but he told TMZ this week that if Zion signs with him, he'll have his word that he's going to have a comfortable life when he's on the court and off the court. And I guess Floyd decided to demonstrate this. I don't know if this is an Instagram video or what he did. But he flashed a backpack full of $500,000 in cash.
So he's making it clear, Mike, how he will be, how he will obtain his clients.
Correct.
Yeah,
that's interesting. Very subtle.
I don't really know like what the APR is on $500,000 in a backpack. I don't know if like you get points on that or not.
It's not safe to carry around. I'll tell you that much.
Well,
he's got
it,
six guys all with gats on the hip. Carl.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, no, that's true. So. I guess.
And they're all bigger than Jarvis.
By the way, Mike, 50 Cent, after his bankruptcy, is now 30 Cent.
He went bankrupt?
Yep.
How'd he do that?
He paid off debts of more than $22 million. As I'm reading this off of Net Worth Celebrity, he's worth $30 million right now.
How does a celebrity rack up $22 million in
taxes?
Debt?
Taxes.
It might, yeah, maybe.
Gotta pay those taxes.
Wow.
Good stuff, Mike Conti. In case you missed it, brought to you by
Rooms to Go.
All right, man. Enjoy your weekend, my friend.
You too, guys.
Hey, man. Can't wait to see what the official kit looks like. Of course, Mike, the voice of Atlanta United FC.
Oh, yeah, that's tonight. That's going to be streamed on YouTube.
There's already thousands of people lined up outside the bench. Roger from the Men and Blazers is going to be out there tonight.
Oh, very cool.
He's been in Atlanta all week. Pretty cool.
Roger, stop by the show, man. We dig you. All right, coming up, top three at six, guys, and you'll hear from John Collins as he gets ready for All-Star Weekend.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.